Like I said, I don't care.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Brother Eli, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this school and thank you for all the teachers that you've provided it with, and thank you for your holy scriptures. I pray that you'd give us a good understanding as we go into this last segment of it, and thank you so much for leading us to your New Testament churches, and help us to be faithful to you while we're here, and continue to perfect ourselves to properly walk in your ways, and please help the brethren that are dealing with problems with their health that they get better, and I thank you so much for the wonderful things that you have prepared for those that love you, and help us to just be better about walking by faith through our lives, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start. Brother Sean is sick, not feeling well. Sounds like he missed Wednesday night, wasn't feeling well, and still lingering. So pray for him, and thank you for the, always feel weird thanking for the opportunity because someone's sick, but anyways, whatever we want to call this, it's circumstance. Let's see. And Brother Christian, can you turn to Hebrews chapter 11? I'm going to have you read verse 4. So we're going to try to get through this lesson tonight. I don't know if we will. I've got another one for in the morning. But we're going to, this lesson tonight is on sanctification, and I'm going to try to tie in the tabernacle. I know that for the Sean's scope of his class this year, and I don't want to step on anything he's trying to get to. So anyways, we're going to look at that sanctification and a couple of things in the tabernacle and how it relates to that. But we'll start here in Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel. Genesis 4 and verse number 3, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. All right, Brother Christian, can you read Hebrews 11 and verse 4?
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, not testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speak.
All right. So, very clearly says that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, and that he found righteousness with God, or the condition of being right with God, in the sacrifice that he offered. And so the question is, what made Abel's sacrifice acceptable or respectable in the eyes of God? What allowed him to be righteous, be right with God on what he did versus what his brother did?
He offered it by faith.
All right. I was kind of anticipating that answer. It's fine. It says it right there. By faith, he offered it. Let's go over to Matthew 23. But that's, I wanted to start there because, yes, it was by faith. Brother Jeff?
I was just going to say, the first verse of the chapter, it's the reason why Abel sacrifice anymore. It's, it's something being felt for. The evidence of things not being strictly like I'm doing what someone else would do. I'm a prayer for God the way God told me how to do it. I'm leaving it in God's hands.
Okay. Okay. That, that's kind of along the way I want to go. By faith. Okay. Yes. Abel offered it by faith. Okay. The next question, though. What faith? Faith in what? Somebody say faith in God.
So I was going to say, that's kind of
keep that answer to yourself. Faith in what?
Why is that living faith?
Living faith?
Not versus saving faith.
Okay. I mean, faith is the answer. That's the answer we hear all the time. And it Hebrews 11:4, it says by faith, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't wishful thinking. It's not, you don't make a wish and then blow out the candles on the birthday cake. I hope God accepts this sacrifice. Faith. No. Faith and love. Okay. All right, Matthew 23. So, what he offered it by faith. Yes, he absolutely offered it by faith. Did it have anything to do with what he offered?
No.
Okay. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that it was a lamb and Abel tilled the ground. Cain tilled the ground. Thank you. And, there were things in the tabernacle that they offered that weren't always animal sacrifices. There was sacrifices that have been offered and offerings that have been offered that weren't always animals and bloodshed and things like that. But I think if we read these verses here, remember, kind of the point of this is sanctification. All right. So, the offering that he offered was sanctified. And that is what pleased the Lord. Because as we get to what all the offerings point to in the tabernacle and all the vessels in the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself, it wasn't what they brought, but it was their faith in how their sacrifice was sanctified. Their sacrifice was sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The altar itself that represented Jesus sacrificed or sanctified that for them, right? So when we say, well, he had faith, that's right. He had faith. But he had faith in what? He had to have faith in something. There had to be more to it than just the word faith. We have to know what that means. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. See some blank faces out there. Just saying faith, well, you have faith. Well, but what? In what? How? Why? What does that mean?
You said it just earlier, but I'm going to emphasize it. A lot of people hear faith and they say a wing and a prayer, a hope. Like, mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not faith.
Mm-hmm. This sacrifice will be acceptable by God. God will accept this sacrifice. I believe in something I can't see, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and this sacrifice through faith. How are we saved? We're saved by grace through faith. Faith in the sanctifying and redeeming power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ's blood. We can't just say we're saved by faith. That's true. That is a true statement. But faith in something. Faith in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ. It is in something that he did, not or something that is real, something that is true. I can't see it, can't touch it, can't, but
I know it's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matthew 23, verse 16. I think these verses will help us out a little bit.
Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? So that's a question. What's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Yeah, he answers it. He says that. Yeah, you're right. He says it's the temple. All right, verse 18. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon, he is guilty. Now, this word swearing here, this is not like vulgar swearing. Okay, this is similar to over in Hebrews 6:13 when it says he could swear by no greater than he by himself. It's a vow, an oath, a promise. Okay, it's a devout seriousness. Okay, so if you're gonna make a vow or a covenant, okay, or a devoted thing to the Lord, he's saying, are you gonna swear by the gold, or are you gonna swear by the temple that sanctifies the gold? Are you gonna swear by the sacrifice that is on the altar that you brought, or the altar itself that sanctifies the sacrifice? Whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? That's a question that Jesus is asking. Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. So the temple is greater. He that makes the temple holy is greater than the gold of the temple. He that makes the altar holy is greater than what I put on the altar or what I bring to the altar. So that is where the faith comes in. Is not, yes, Abel's sacrifice was acceptable and respectable and righteous. God accounted it to him for righteousness because the altar, and I don't know what kind of altar it was, but there are altars in the tabernacle. There are altars in the temple. The altar sanctifies the gift. Now, the brazen altar, what did it represent? Place of sacrifice. The word altar means sacrifice. It means slaughter, a place of slaughter, sacrifice. It's a place of sacrifice, and whose sacrifice?
Christ. Sacrifice of animals represent.
Yes, right. So the type in the Old Testament, though, the type of the brazen altar there was a picture of Christ, his suffering, right? There's a lot of verses there talk about his suffering. Is it Psalm 53, Psalm 22, right? So his suffering at the cross, the judgment of God upon sin, all these pictures and types that we look at with the brazen altar. But again, we understand that it wasn't the continual bringing of bulls and goats by the Israelites, or even the actual actions by the priests that sanctified them.
It was the blood of Jesus
Christ. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And the sanctification, right? The sanctifying power of Jesus, who in effect is our altar. He is our sacrifice. He is that who was slaughtered. So it's not the gift that's laid on the altar, it's the altar itself that sanctifies that gift.
Shouldn't say, go back and look at the seven offerings. It's meant that they were a little bit different, represented something different. But at the end of the Hebrews 10 through 12, where you're sanctifying through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Mm-hmm.
All represented Catholic.
Sanctified through the what was that? Hebrews what?
10 through 12.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're gonna try to get over there. So let's turn over to Exodus 29. All right, so the altar is superior because it gives holiness to the offering placed upon it.
It's like the temple was superior to the gold within the temple. And remember that context there. He's talking about, you know, you scribes and Pharisees, you make clean the outside of the cup. You adorn the tombs of dead men's bones. But within you're full of dead men's bones, right? So you're really good at making the outward look good and look righteous. And so that's what Jesus starts with there, right? What is greater, the gold or the temple? What's greater, the altar or the gift that's upon the altar? So without the sanctifying power of the altar, the gift is nothing. Without the sanctifying presence of God in the temple is nothing. It's just a building. So God's presence sanctifies the temple, just like God's presence inside an individual soul sanctifies their soul in salvation. God's presence inside an ecclesia sanctifies that group of people. It sets them apart, just like the Holy of Holies, just like just like the sanctuary. And so it is the sanctifying power of Him. And so, let's see, Exodus 29. I am not there. Let's see, Daniel, you want to get verses 29 or verses 36 through 46. Sorry.
And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made the atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, 2 lambs, for the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer in the evening. And when the one lamb is a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin beaten oil and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregations before the Lord, when I will meet you to speak there unto thee.
All right, I'll stop you right there. I said through verse 46, but I'll stop you right there. All right, now let's go over to chapter 30, Exodus chapter 30. So I just wanted to read those. Those are some of the specific verses referring to the daily, the morning and the evening sacrifice, the sacrifices that were offered upon the brazen altar, the atonement of the altar every day. And he said there in verse 41 that Brother Daniel read, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, right? So these offerings had the ability to, like with Abel's sacrifice, right, be acceptable, be a sweet-smelling savor. However, over in Malachi chapter 1, God talks to them. He there says, you know, you're bringing the poor, you're bringing the lame, you're bringing the blind. It's a stench to my nostrils. I've snuffed at it. You know, it's no longer. So what's the difference? What's the difference between those that were bringing sacrifice? I mean, maybe they were the same animals. Might have been the same schedule they were following. It would be the same reason that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted.
It wasn't by faith.
It wasn't by faith in the sanctifying power of that who sanctifies us, but in, I'm bringing this. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
On the outside, I look the same as they looked 10 years ago, or I look the same as Brother Daniel, right? And so there's a difference. A spiritual difference, a heart difference, a faith difference. Yeah, Brother Daniel.
Oh, you're getting into this. There's an order set out by God, factual order, and there's a spiritual component as
well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to go to the right place.
Yeah.
Where we are. We got to go to a scriptural New Testament church.
Yes.
I hope you're spending a lot of time, which is by the faith that teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
Cain had to do it the right way.
Yeah.
We assume it was a stone altar, like you told him later.
With, right.
So we had to do it the right way.
Yeah.
So how to do it in the right spirit.
Yes. Yeah. The letter, I mean, and if we're just referring to the tabernacle or the law, we might call that the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. But yeah, and you can follow the right things, and faith without works is dead, right? Like you said. So yeah, you can't just, you know, well, my heart's in the right place. No, you have to follow that straight and narrow way. God is a God of order. But you also have, your faith has to be not in, I'm following these steps. My faith is in the Lord, right? You see that with people that are struggling with salvation. Well, I'm praying, confessed with my mouth, I believe in my heart, I've asked God to save me, and I'm not saved. Well, your actions are not going to sanctify you.
Yeah.
Your actions are not going to cleanse you. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Yeah. Brother Reagan.
Well, because that's kind of what I was thinking about. In 1 Samuel 15, Samuel told Saul to obey is better than sacrifice. In that instance, I have a hard time saying, you kind of think maybe his heart is in the right place, but he's unwilling to obey God, so I have a hard time saying his heart is in the right place. But he gives more or different sacrifice that he thinks is better, but his heart is no better than God, or I'm going to be able to do more of God. And like, clearly he can't.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a super negative result for him, which is God is no longer with him, takes over and chooses a king and all that. So, and again, to what Brother Daniel's talking about, if I'm not willing to submit to God first in his way, then I can't bring an acceptable sacrifice, even if I am, like you're saying, bringing it exactly, which usually I don't, because mm-hmm. if my heart's not in the right condition, I'm not looking for God's will to do it, I'm going to look for my will. Right. And then you have two or three gathered together, but I'll get together on my own, we're going to do it our own way, and well, we're not following the letter of the law, but, you know, it's close enough, or it's the spirit of law, and that's, the world is good with close enough.
And we really do have to, I remember a few years ago, Brother Sean, the last time we taught on the tabernacle specifically, I remember he started off almost every class with John 14:6. That was like his theme verse for that year, whatever. And it we really do, John 14:6 is never not the pattern. John 14:6 is never not the way. Salvation, church membership, giving God glory. I mean, we just hit it at the end of Brother Mike's class. And so, you know, our sanctification is through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life in salvation, in church membership, in bridal relationship. It never ceases to be through him. And so we just hit it, you know, I receive not honor from men. To him only wise be glory by Christ Jesus. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Combining two verses there. Did I see another hand?
Well, I was just going to say, you look at Church of Ephesus, perfect example in Revelation. They were doing everything right, but they lost sight of why they were doing it. Same thing for us. We can do everything right, but if we lose sight of why we're doing it, how we're able to do it, then you become nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Psalm 51:16, for thou desirest not a sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt despise. Mm-hmm. It starts with the heart, and then the acts follow it once the heart is in the right order of God.
Yeah. And that is the big deal. That is the huge issue with lineage, the Holy Ghost as comforter, and on down the line. Why? Because if the Holy Ghost isn't there, that body is not sanctified to offer worship and service. Ordinate, they're not sanctified by the presence of God to ordain a man. They're not sanctified. They have no authority to baptize anyone. Therefore, well, people are getting saved. They're not going to be in the bride if they don't have scriptural baptism. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is what sanctifies that local body. All right. Chapter 30, Exodus 30. So this is referring to the altar of incense. Like I said, there was the brazen altar. There was the altar of incense. So starting in verse 1, let's see. Brother Josh, can you read verses 1 through 10?
And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of 15 wood shalt thou make it. Cubit shall be the length thereof, and the cubit the breadth thereof. Four square it shall be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof, and the horn thereof shall be the same. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horn thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there, Brother Josh. I just realized we have 5 minutes, so we're going to go to Leviticus 16. Let's jump over there. These still have to do with the altar of incense, but I think we know the dimensions and the arrangement of the altar of incense there. This has to do with the actual sanctification and the atonement that was made, that was done, I guess you could say, upon the altar of incense here. All right, so this is once a year. So we know, and we'll get to it, we know that once a year, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, and he took the blood of the bull and the goat, and he took it back into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled it around the ark there and upon the mercy seat. Verse 11, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he takes a handful of sweet incense, beaten small, takes it into the Holy of Holies, puts it on the mercy seat. The cloud from the incense covers the mercy seat. Then he takes the blood of the bullock and sprinkles it before the mercy seat 7 times. And then, verse 15, the goat brings his blood within the veil, and with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkles it upon the mercy seat. Now jump down to we'll start in verse 16. He shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. So not only did he go into the Holy of Holies once a year, but this was done to the altar of incense once a year. And there was incense taken from the altar of incense and taken back to the mercy seat. And then there was blood taken back out and sprinkled around the altar of incense. And so we won't get there tonight, but, every instrument in the tabernacle was sanctified by the blood of Christ. Sanctified by the blood, just as every instrument in a New Testament church needs to be sanctified. And yes, the altar of incense was wonderful, and it was necessary and needful, and prayers are important. But had that altar was not just a place for burning incense. There was a time once a year where the priest, it says, no one else was allowed to be in the tabernacle at this point. It was just him. And he was in there, and he was sprinkling this blood around there to make an atonement for that specific piece of furniture, for that specific altar of incense. And so just the sanctification by the blood there. And so we kind of already read some of this. But in verse 15, he takes the blood into the mercy seat and the Holy of Holies, and he does it there. So Hebrews 9. So Hebrews 9, verse number 7, it says, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And then, of course, if you jump over to verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then jump down to verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I know I'm jumping around to a lot here, but one last verse, turn over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1. So Christ is the means of our sanctification always and in everything. Not only the sanctification of the lost sinner, but he's also the sanctification of the local New Testament church, Acts 20:28, which he has purchased with his own blood. And so 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we'll go ahead and stop right there. But it's not the gift, it's not the service always that I'm doing, it's who sanctifies that service, who sanctifies the prayers, who sanctifies the witnessing and the studying and the singing and all of that. It's the sanctifying power of Jesus Christ. And if we don't have faith in that, then, I mean, the lost person's not going to be saved, but the saved person's not going to be a vessel that's sanctified and meet for the master's use. So stop right there. Let's go ahead and stand.